This is Michael Bell, the voice of Duke from G.I. Joe. You're listening to What's on Joe Mind.
Welcome to episode 57 of What's on Joe Mind. We're a fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. We're now T-minus 29 days until New Orleans, T-minus 72 days until Canadian JoeCon, 101 days till CoilCon, and 303 days until G.I. Joe Retaliation. Trust me, folks, something tells me that we won't be able to go too far into this episode with at least talking about JoeCon and Retaliation once. Hello again, everybody. I'm Gary. Joining me, as always, he's been making the podcast rounds with me. He's our news hawk. It's Beachhead Mike. Mike, how are you?
Wait, so you're telling me there's a G.I. Joe convention? Well, I'll just have to put that on the news desk then. I will be damned.
There is a convention. There is not, however, a movie.
I will be damned.
What were those travel plans that you were making? You were just kind of hanging out with us?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. I appreciate it. I understand that. Joining us from the heart of Metropolis, he's our showrunner, Chuck. Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing good. It just started raining.
Thank you, Weatherman Chuck.
Chuck, the Weatherman McGee. Up next, he's the admin of GeneralJoes.com, and he lives so far out in the woods, he's the butt of other rednecks telling jokes about rednecks. It's Justin. Justin, how are you?
Doing great, Gary. How you doing?
Hey, doing good. I think all things considered after this week.
What happened this week?
Oh, just the news of the fandom. The world in crisis.
The world in crisis.
There's a crisis?
I will have to add this to the news desk.
Attention, Mike. There's apparently a crisis.
There's a world in crisis.
The world in crisis.
I will be damned.
The world in crisis.
The world in crisis.
Well, guys, as you know, Mike and I, we've been making the podcast rounds to promote JoeCon and the movie. As we know, the movie aspect of it got pushed back. Last week, we did have a special edition 13, which we had quite a few people on. But since we had so many guests, we really didn't get a chance to voice our own personal opinions. Mike and I have kind of taken care of that on a couple podcasts we've been on. So I wanted to start the show off right away and get the thoughts from our other co-host. So Chuck, you've had nearly a week to digest this and read all the pendant opinions. Give us your thoughts on Retaliation getting moved back to March of 2013.
Last week, doing the special edition, I was more like holding back, trying to keep things organized in the behind the scenes, because really when you have Brian Truitt, Arun Singh, as well as the other Dukes of Jodom on, you know, it, anything I could add would just be...
It conjures up images of Gary Head sliding across the front of an old Dodge. Jumping in the passenger side.
And do you hear that, like, you know, metal on flesh squeak noise too?
In the comedy part of my brain, sure.
Okay, but you know, I mean, anything I would have said at the time would have been redundant. I was wrong, and I'm actually kind of glad I was. Before the podcast, before I even knew you guys, when I would talk to people about Rise of Cobra, I said that one of the big things the writers needed to do was draw on the comic books more than the cartoon, because the comic books are what the majority of the fandom identify as their G.I. Joe. Apparently, one of the things that has not been testing well with Retaliation was the lack of Duke. Which, when you think about it, makes sense that the broader general audience that this movie has to attract to make money really connected to Duke. You know, I think in the long run, we need to look back to our special edition and our special guest, Arun Singh, who basically we all need to say Arun was right.
I'll die before I say those words, Chuck. I will die.
This can only benefit the movie. It can only benefit the movie property and franchise in the long run, as anything to make it better will be profitable.
Justin, anything that Chuck said is true?
How long are we recording tonight? You know, Chuck's biggest thing about the trailer that I remember was that he thought there were certain events in the trailer that weren't going to happen in the movie. And that was what really struck out to me. And I will agree, Chuck did come right out and say he wasn't as blown away by the trailer as the rest of us were. But he kind of conflicted himself a little bit, because he said on the one hand he wasn't as blown away by the trailer as the rest of us were, but then he also thought the best parts of the movie are sometimes in the trailer or not in the movie, but he didn't think the best parts of the movie were in that trailer. So I don't know exactly what point he's making there.
All right, Justin, so put into your thoughts here. Obviously, you've put a lot of editorials kind of on your own page.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So put in the words, the last week.
Well, it's... It's been frustrating, mostly because you kind of wonder if the G.I. Joe brand can ever catch a break. And that's, I think, where most of my frustration lies. Not necessarily specifically with the movie itself, but just kind of wondering, you know, where the entire brand is concerned. Can G.I. Joe ever catch a break? I mean, it just seems for the last 6 or 7 years, we just felt like we got something good going, and then all of a sudden the rug gets pulled out from under us. You know, in my opinion, Sigma 6 was cool. Nobody else liked it. But then we got to the 25th anniversary, and things seemed to be going great there. And then they gave us Resolute, which was really cool for a lot of people there. Then it was like, oh, yep, no more Resolute toys, no more 25th anniversary, now it's the Rise of Cobra. Ramp up to the Rise of Cobra, ramp up to the Rise of Cobra, people kind of keeping their fingers crossed, and it's like, oh, Rise of Cobra, yeah, not so good. And, you know, yank the rug back out from under us. And the toys are looking okay, but the toys are, oh, they're leading up to the Pursuit of Cobra. This looks really cool. Some very good stuff here leading up to the Pursuit of Cobra. And then, yeah, the rug yanked back out from under us. Yeah, sales sucked. Now you got to wait 8 more months for the Pursuit of Cobra. All right, great. So, you know, we stick it out. We wait 8 more months for the Pursuit of Cobra. The Pursuit of Cobra toy line is great. Oh, look, G.I. Joe Renegades, an animated series. Doesn't that look cool? Oh, wow, yeah, that looks great. Let's watch a season, start getting into it. This is a great cartoon. Oh, yeah, just kidding. Yeah, canceling the cartoon even before the toys come out. And here are the toys. The toys are, oh, they're really great. But, yeah, now we're going into G.I. Joe Retaliation, so no more toys, no more cartoon. But G.I. Joe Retaliation, trust us, that one's going to be really great. And then ramp up to G.I. Joe Retaliation, and now we all know where we are now. And that's kind of where most of my frustration lies. It's just that, for the love of God, can they just figure out what they're going to do with G.I. Joe and friggin' stick with it and do it and not get cold feet and not freak out at every little possible trend that might be going sideways. On the other hand, I do kind of see where they're coming from with G.I. Joe Retaliation. Looking at that on an individual basis, when you don't kind of combine it with all the other chaos the G.I. Joe brand has undergone over the last 6 years, you can kind of see why they made the decision they did with the film at this point, just from a film perspective. If there's any accuracy whatsoever to the screening reports that we got, then it was probably going to get hammered by The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, 4 days after it got released. And then it was probably going to get hammered even more by The Dark Knight Rises 3 more weeks after that. And in all reality, if they had invested $125 million in a sequel to a G.I. Joe film that was already borderline making enough money to warrant a sequel, chances are a third movie would be totally off the table. It would be bad for the toys. It would be bad for the brand in general. It would not be good. They forced the movie out on the time frame that they did, then it just would not have had good results. So from that perspective, you know, I do understand why they delayed it, and it might be, in the long run, a better move for the G.I. Joe brand. They have less competition in March. They can add 3D to generate more box office sales overseas. There's a lot of valid reasons to move it to March. But here's something that a lot of people aren't really taking into consideration, I think, when it comes to G.I. Joe Retaliation. Part of the reasoning why they did not film it in 3D to begin with is because, if you remember, it was originally supposed to come out in August. Then Star Trek 2 got pushed back, so they decided, oh, we got to shove G.I. Joe in there. So they cranked release dates up an extra 2 months to push the film out there, which, number one, kind of screwed Hasbro on the toy construction. Number two, kind of compressed their time frame so they couldn't film in 3D to begin with. And so, once again, you come up with this, they don't really know what they want to do with it. They're moving it up, they're moving it down, they're doing this, they're doing that.
And it still comes after Star Trek.
Yeah, and now the end result is it's still being released after Star Trek. See, I feel like I'm talking about 100 miles an hour, so I apologize for that. I have a lot to say about it, and I don't want to waste or spend a whole lot of time on it, just because like Gary said, I've been editorializing endlessly on General's Joe's as it is. Essentially, from a film perspective, I think it's probably a smart decision. It's going to be better for the brand in the long run. But I would feel a lot better about that decision if it didn't seem like the entire brand is just embroiled in chaos to begin with. You know, you want to feel confident that, oh, they know what they're doing. They've got a specific purpose for this. They've got a plan. They know what they're doing. They want to do what's best for the brand. And I feel confident that they're making the right decision here. But part of me says I don't feel confident in that because of all the chaos kind of surrounding the decision. And nobody seems to know what's going on with the toys. You got rumors of recalls, which are BS, but rumors of recalls. You got all this other stuff flying around. Hasbro's right hand doesn't seem to know what Hasbro's left hand is doing. And it just seems kind of chaotic right now. And from a film perspective, I think it's not a bad move. From a toy perspective, I think it could be a disastrous move. But the point remains is just that nobody knows, because Hasbro themselves doesn't even seem to know. So I do feel a little bit better about it than I did when we recorded that special edition last week, where I was just felt like I'd been kicked in the nuts about 4 times in a row. I've gained a little bit of perspective. I don't think it's a terrible decision. and I think there's lots of reasons why it could be good for the brand in the long run, but Hasbro's track record over the last 5 years hasn't instilled me with much confidence, so we'll leave it at that.
All right, so we have no scheduled guests this week.
What?
Yeah, no scheduled guests. This is like the first time in forever that it's just been the four of us.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. And that was me dropping in Justin's soundbite. On to the news with Beachhead Mike.
Gathering the best G.I. Joe news from all points around the fandom and community, it's the weekly What's on Joe Mind News Desk with your host and anchor, Beachhead Mike.
A fandom in crisis.
I just
wanted
to hear that sound. That's pretty awesome.
The world in crisis.
The world in crisis.
A fandom in crisis.
Okay, so we do have a breakdown of the G.I. Joe product that we can expect for the rest of the year. Essentially, these are what we know through information gathered from our sponsors and what we've actually seen ourselves as far as what we can expect while things slow down in anticipation of retaliation in the early part of next year.
But the kind of the reason we're doing this is because I know with everybody freaking out about possibly only two waves of G.I. Joe Retaliation being released, everybody's kind of like, oh my God, no G.I. Joe product. What am I going to do? You know, there's bare shelves and all this other stuff. And yeah, the retail shelves for the most part will probably be bare, but we're just kind of trying to break down what's coming out this year to maybe put things in perspective and maybe show people, it's not quite as bad as you think. You got that money burning a hole in your pocket. There's some other stuff you can spend it on.
Of course, take all this with a grain of salt because sure. Any information we give out is subject to change at any time because we don't have any authority nor any actual knowledge. We're just making educated guesses based on what some other kind of knowledgeable folks have told us.
Right.
Hasbro could change their mind and they could throw out this whole thing tomorrow, which wouldn't be unusual for there to be breaking news the day after we record. So of course, again, giant grain of salt. If you want to, Justin, go right ahead. Take it on through.
The reason we're doing this is because there's been a little bit of a reaction online that if the retaliation figures don't come out this year, that somehow means we've got absolutely nothing to buy for the next 6 or 8 months and it's the end of the world as we know it. And I just wanted to kind of let people know that it's not quite as bad. A figure of if retaliation toys are delayed till 2013, you know, I don't think they're going to push them back all the way to March. That's pretty rare that March is kind of geared as an action figure launch. It's in the middle of the season. Usually it's either at the beginning of the year or kind of the spring reset, which is what we're seeing right now.
In the past with the movie and this movie particular, it was always a month prior that a lot of the movie license stuff hit the shelves.
Correct. Yes.
I agree with you. And I think most of us should expect something to come out before March.
I agree. And it may even be as early as the beginning of 2013. I don't know if it's going to be quite that early, but it may be somewhere in that perspective. And, you know, if you look at what quote-unquote wave one of any given year is, you know, if it's wave one 2012 or wave one 2011, those figures actually generally hit around December of the previous year. So if you're going by normal release schedule, if the retaliation stuff is technically going to become wave one 2013, there's an actual possibility some of this stuff might hit in late December. So you're talking probably about a 6 month break between now and when G.I. Joe retaliation toys are going to kind of kick back off. And of course, that's all a hypothetical. I might be totally wrong, but that's kind of what I envision, especially if
they've... Yeah, it's not the first time it's happened either, by the way.
That's true. So basically, this is what we're looking at for the rest of the year without retaliation toys past wave two. We're assuming the first two waves of retaliation are probably going to hit. That's about 14 figures right there. 9 figures in wave one, 5 figures in wave two. We've got the retaliation 3-packs. I don't know if wave two 3-packs are going to show up. I'm assuming not, so we're counting 6 figures there with the retaliation 3-packs. Then you've got the San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. Don't forget about that. You've got 2 Jinxes in there. You've got the Destro and the Bat. And if you're not spending money on retaliation toys, then maybe you got a little extra money to throw at the SDCC stuff.
And as far as we know, these are still a go.
Yes. I've heard nothing from Hasbro at all about any of this stuff being canceled. Got the G.I. Joe Collectors Club convention set. There's 15 figures in that. And again, you know, if you're not spending money on retaliation stuff, maybe you got some extra greenbacks to throw at that. Convention extras, you're probably talking about 5 figures there, probably. And then, of course, something a lot of people have forgotten about is the figure subscription service, the FSS. This would be a perfect time for the club to kind of roll that out during this dry spell. There's supposed to be 13 figures coming there. And then you've got these Dollar General figures, which, you know, if you're counting the main decos and then the supposed redecos that we've seen rumored pictures of, that's another 12 figures there. So you're talking, even if nothing else G.I. Joe retaliation-wise gets released after the second wave, you're talking over 60 figures throughout the rest of 2012. You're talking almost 70 figures, actually. So that's not a bad year. I mean, back in the 80s, we used to get 32 figures a year. Even in the New Sculpt era, which was supposed to be this busy time of the line, you might get 110, 120 figures in any given year. You know, that's 70 figures this year. There's no problem with that. And if you're not investing all that money in retaliation vehicles and figures and such, maybe you've got some extra money for the convention figures and for the San Diego Comic-Con stuff. So this might not be a bad year for collectors to kind of refocus their priorities, at least for 2012. And everybody's been complaining about the retaliation stuff anyway. So, you know, now we don't have those less articulated figures on the shelves. You can redirect it towards fully articulated, highly detailed figures from the Collectors Club or from San Diego or from any one of these other sources that are out there.
If this does work out in this scenario, as we kind of are ballparking, it could be a boon for the club, actually, where for 6 months, every month, we will have two brand spanking new figures to talk about that come from them.
Yep.
That could be a good deal. And then you're right. Provided that they're easier to find, the whole dollar store budget figures are still floating around out there, which apparently are quite the items to hunt for. So
yeah. I wouldn't expect they're going to be this hard to find forever. I mean, they're going to start hitting in bigger quantities, I've got to believe. Don't forget, these dollar stores, they're pretty tiny. They get like maybe a case at a time. So you're going to get a case of toys. They're going to put it out. It's going to sell through. They're going to have to order another case. It's going to come out. They're going to sell through. It's almost like you get like a Target or a Walmart and they get a new product line. They might get two cases of it. It gets hit. It gets wiped out. And then maybe a week later they replenish. Well, the dollar store is going to be a lot kind of lower profile than that. So it's going to take some time probably for it to be fully saturated. These things only got spotted first, what, a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Let's give it a little time before we start screaming recall and start wondering if these figures are ever going to show up anywhere else. I have a feeling they'll be a lot more visible as time goes on.
Justin, I was just wondering if you could add, because I've seen on Twitter and on a couple other websites, a lot of people are saying with this delay, this gives Hasbro an opportunity to add articulation to these figures.
That's asinine. There's no way, even if they were going to release figures from March, there's no way they could totally retool a toy line in 9 months. It's just not possible. There's way too many steps that have to occur. And not only that, but you got to figure for wave 3, 4, and 5 that were slated to hit within the next few months. I mean, those figures have got to be very close to production. They're not just going to scrap all of those figures and totally redo them. That's not going to happen. Part of the reason why they're doing this is to save some money. So how would it save money if they're going to trash 30 figures that they've already produced and just basically junk pile them and then totally retool them from the ground up? That's just not going to happen. People got to get rid of that dream right now, because that's not going to happen. If we have a 6-month, 7-month time span where we've got nothing, don't expect vehicles coming out in 2013 with suddenly having fully articulated drivers, because you're going to be fooling yourself.
When the line relaunches in the new year, do you think they're going to start over and re-release Wave 1, which is basically what's on shelves now?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they going to start with Wave 2 or Wave 3?
I suspect they'll probably relaunch with Wave 1. And maybe what they'll do is they might release them in spurts. Beginning of 2013, they push out a couple waves at once. I don't know if that's what they're going to do or not. But you got to figure they're so close to production now, they're going to want to get those figures out as soon as possible. Because who knows what else was already planned for 2013. That's something people aren't really thinking about either. They designed toy lines up to a year or more in advance. They probably had stuff in the works already for 2013. So now if retaliation is suddenly getting pushed back to 2013, what happens to the product that was supposed to come out in 2013? That's probably at a level of production right now that it might be tough for them to just kind of stop and mothball that. The stuff that they've already got produced and kind of waiting for retail, they're going to want to get that out ASAP. So as soon as stores sign off on that, if it's right early in 2013, they're going to start getting that stuff out. So I have a feeling they'll probably start back with Wave 1, but I would imagine Wave 2 and Wave 3 will probably follow very closely after that, you know, start getting the shelves back full again.
Our next news tidbit, Ain't It Cool News, revealed some issues with retaliation. Some room for doubt in their claims. Gary, why don't you start this one off?
It's a couple reports come out via kind of a syndicated national radio show. They had some people call in to say that the screenings weren't as positive as we thought. frankly, these are two people in the vast wilderness. I'd really love to hear more than just two people. But the news report coming in from Ain't It Cool is that the screenings, people were not happy with them. This is news, I believe, to a lot of us, really, to be honest.
Yep.
I don't know if it's because we drank the Kool-Aid and we were so sold on this going to be such a better movie than Rise of Cobra, or just totally came out of left field and it smacked us and we weren't anticipating it. I don't know.
Come on, man. There was a ninja fight on the side of a cliff.
How cool is that?
I know.
If it comes down to just being Duke, well, okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... I was taken by surprise, and I wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid. I was chugging that friggin' Kool-Aid. So I'm probably the wrong person to get an educated perspective on this just because I felt so invested in this film. I probably overlooked some issues with the trailer. And it's easy to kind of say, well, yeah, there were two people that kind of looked at the screening and didn't really like it. Well, they're delaying the movie 9 months, and The Rock has already confirmed via Twitter that they're shooting new scenes. That's kind of an indication that Paramount thought there was some stuff wrong with it. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. If they were just converting it for 3D, then, you know, it might get delayed a little while, but it's not going to be delayed 9 months. So I think there's a combination of things that kind of pushed it back 9 months. And I do think reshooting some scenes is probably part of it. And some of that's probably going to be undoing the Duke death that was supposedly coming. There was probably some bad reactions. Now, here's the kicker is, you know, the people viewing these screenings, you know, you got to think they probably weren't hardcore G.I. Joe fans. Maybe there was an issue with John Chu gearing it a little bit too much for the fans. Maybe they were so concerned with making this so fandom friendly that they ended up alienating some of the non-fandom audiences, which wouldn't have been a good move because, you know, it would have affected the box office returns. So the fact remains that we've heard two isolated reports of people who've seen the screening. Both of them were pretty negative. Unfortunately, that's the only sample size we've got to go with. I'm not sold on the fact that the movie was terrible by any stretch. You ask 1,000 people how good a movie was, you're going to get 1,000 different opinions. So perhaps these two folks just didn't like it. By and large, it wasn't as bad as people think. I think what you'll find is that all the G.I. Joe fans who were all thought it was going to be the best thing ever, and then these people who saw the screening who thought it was terrible, the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle. It's probably not as fantastic as all the Joe fans were hoping, but I'm sure it's not as terrible as these people who saw the screenings were thinking either. It's probably somewhere in between. And the fact is, if they're going to push it back 9 months and improve on it, then, you know, that's probably the right thing to do. And if it's better for the brand in the long run, I say let them do it.
Paramount, you listen to the show. Prove it to us.
Yes.
Show us a screener.
That's right. We want to see.
Even being a fan, and I still call myself a fan of the first movie because I just had a lot of fun with it, really. Sure. I don't care about the triangle with the Baroness and Duke and Rex and all that, the changing of the race of Ripcord. I don't really care about that. I was going to have fun with that movie regardless. I'll come back and tell you if it's a bad movie, but prove it to me. Show it to me. Let's have some fans actually view this thing. So Paramount, you're listening. We challenge you. We have an email address, whatsonjoemind@gmail.com.
Hook us up.
Hook us up. We'd be happy to give you our expert opinion.
Experts. We got a whole panel of experts right here.
You remember the gigantic grain of salt. I tend to take most things with them until I actually get to see them for myself. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more than two people that don't like this movie, regardless of what happens to it. So I'm not terribly concerned about what Ain't It Cool did. And it's kind of irresponsible, I think, for them to continue to feed the internet machine that seems to feast on the hyperbole that everything is either the best something ever or the worst something ever. But I certainly can't condemn them for it alone. I didn't have much to think about it. I don't have that much credence to waste those many brain cells on it.
All right, let's move on to the next one.
And of course, JoeCon 2012. Registration is live. I guess that's not too much news. We're a little behind on this one. Is this another one where it came out instantly after we were done broadcasting last show?
I think the important designation is that while online registration for attendees was live last week, just tonight registration went live for non-attendees, meaning people who aren't going to actually go to the con can now register and buy their box set.
But it has been a week since when our last show came out. Registration did go live in the period between records, so attendee registration apparently is ongoing, but it sounds mostly complete because then they opened up tonight, the 29th of May, that non-attendee registration occurred tonight. The unconfirmed news, and it's tough to tell, and we'll try to get to the bottom of this one. It's a little bit easier to get to the bottom of this one in the next couple days because I think the club will actually tell us if it is a case that the bag sets are sold out. If someone were to say it, I would believe it at this point based upon the traction that this set is receiving. Justin, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm hearing the same thing, that the bag set has already been totally sold out. That would be pretty incredible. That's never happened before, to my knowledge, where the bag set is actually sold out before the convention. That would be pretty huge.
And I bought one.
Good man.
And part two, of course, as planted by our showrunner Chuck, is that Chuck is willing to pay top dollar for a carded Footloose figure.
As long as that top dollar does not exceed $25.
There you go, Justin. Thank you.
Including favors of a questionable nature. So by all means, contact Chuck if you are interested in all in hooking Chuck up with a carded Footloose figure.
I was actually expecting the three of you to just gang up on me and say, don't do it, don't do it, don't anybody do it for him. Usual weekly abuse.
We are always good about letting the public make their own mistakes.
Chuck, I think likelihood of you picking up one of these at cost, unless you find a really benevolent soul, oof. Knowing that I could turn around and sell one of these for $150, oof.
Yeah, that's tough.
You need a really benevolent, benevolent soul.
None of which exist on this show, I realized, since day two.
Well, I mean, Chuck, if I have the opportunity to get one, I'll do it for you, but I'm not certain I'll have the 25 extra bucks.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. You're always a good person.
Now, that sarcasm might get you marked up a little bit.
No. That's not sarcasm. That was actually more of me trying to take a shot at Justin and Gary.
Well, I mean, they know they suck. There's really no reason to dress that up for them. It's not going to work.
Eh.
Maybe you should come to a con sometime, Chuck.
I'm trying to encourage you to attend.
Yeah.
We're not enabling your non-attending behavior.
This is tough love, Chuck. We got Azari to come. Carded Footloose figures will be on hand. Now, here's the skinny on last year's. Dial Tones were carded at limited edition of 600 at $25 a pop. Now, will that number go up this year? Maybe. I don't know. I'm just telling you what last year was. We won't find out until we get on site. And there are typically limits. If you are just a regular Real American Hero attendee package, such as what Mike purchased, you'll be able to get one per badge. And then you got to come back that Friday. You can get back in line to get more after the dealers and the aides, I believe, go through the line at least once. So you might be able to buy more on Friday. Golden ticket for Justin, you can buy three anytime you want.
Yes. It may even be more than that, right? It's triple the amount of the regular.
They pump up production and they say, okay, everyone's two.
Yeah.
Then Justin's six.
Yep.
That's how that goes.
Exactly.
That's how it rolls.
Yeah. What's next, Mike?
All right. Well, we also have our announced guests. Of course, three-fourths of the home team here on What's On Joe Mind will be in attendance.
Is that in the brochure?
I don't know.
Is that on the website?
I haven't looked at the brochure since I registered, so I really don't know. I figure it's important enough that it probably made the later editions.
I think they're making like a trio of thrones, and they're just going to kind of sit us up there like kings, and we're just going to look over the sales floor and rule our roost.
Bring that to me.
I demand another bag set.
Joe Con any better for women than the last time I went?
For finding any? Or
yeah, I don't know.
I'll have my wife.
Yeah.
She's off limits, Mike.
Yeah. You might have a good time at the Hustler Bar on Bourbon Street.
That barely legal place. Bring like a couple Barbies or something, maybe you'll...
It's New Orleans. I doubt there's really going to be a lack of opportunity. And of course, the first announced guests are Will Ryan, who was, of course, mentioned in the brochures as the voice of Footloose and Mutt and other Joes. Except he's not. Which is a source of other debate.
Yes, he is the voice of Footloose.
I was also going to add our good friend of the show, Neil Ross, who was, of course, Shipwreck, who we spoke to just a few weeks ago.
Well, let's open up the Will Ryan bit. I did some research, and I passed it off to some other people, and it said Will Ryan voiced Footloose and Mutt in the cartoon, but the research that I found and I've asked other people is that he voiced Footloose and Rock and Roll, and Mutt was voiced by somebody else. So if you're a Sunbow expert out there and you can get us a definitive list of voice talent, maybe you could back us up or say, oh, you're wrong, don't believe what you see on, because sometimes you shouldn't believe what you see on Wikipedia and IMDb, but I've seen this on other sources as well that goes beyond those two. So maybe help us get to the bottom of that, because there might be some people that will take a butt figure to have it signed by Will Ryan and he'll be like, huh, well, what for?
Yep, that's a good point.
Is that the news?
Their world in crisis.
Yeah, sure.
Dramatic pause.
And that's all the news from Beachhead Mike and What's On Joe Mind.
It's time for intermission. I never understood why Chuck has to do the horn, too. We'll be right back.
you can join Joe collectors from all over Canada and the United States at the 10th Annual Canadian JoeCon, Canada's largest G.I. Joe convention. Join a deep roster of guests, including Hasbro Canada, Robert Atkins, Mark Bellomo, and Jason Liu on August 10th and 11th at the Toronto Airport Sheridan. Experience Canada's largest Joe dealer room. Meet the guests at roundtables. Get a chance to own the rare and highly sought-after convention exclusives and network with other collectors. For more information about the Canadian Joe Convention, check them out at CanadianJoeCon.com. Like them on Facebook or follow them on Twitter today. Americans, dig out your passports and everyone book your rooms now. What's on Joe Mind is the official podcast of the 2012 Canadian JoeCon.
This portion of What's on Joe Mind is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at KokomoToys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads. Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's on Joe Mind, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. Inside Pulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sports, games, and more. Check out the Pulse of Pop Culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the GeekCast Radio Network. GeekCast Radio Network features multiple podcasts featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's on Joe Mind. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
Movie Week in Review is the GeekCast Radio Network's weekly movie podcast. Steve and Mike take a look back on their favorite films and give you their thoughts. They also bring in co-hosts at times. If you are a movie buff, listen to MWire only on GeekCastRadio.com. Do you like retro shows? Did you grow up in either the 80s or the 90s? Then tune into Telecast, GeekCastRadio.com's newest podcast. Join us here on the telecast as we revisit some of your favorite shows, such as Clarissa Explains It All, Salute Your Shorts, Saved by the Bell, and much, much more, only on GeekCastRadio.com.
Grab your helmets because it's time to assemble Mask. The GeekCast Radio Network has launched Masked Mayhem with your hosts Optimus Solo and TF Joe and Mike. This podcast covering all 75 episodes of Mask will feature in-depth analysis of every episode, talk on the toys, and more. Masked Mayhem will run 30 podcast episodes. You can find us in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com. Get your spectrums ready as podcasting is the ultimate weapon.
Do you suffer from chronic G.I. Joe podcast withdrawal? Do you crave to talk to people about your favorite hobby but just feel like you're not being heard? Do symptoms include extreme headaches, diminished hearing, and myopic vision? If you do, you suffer from what is called Joe Trollitis. Hi, I'm Gary, celebrity endorser and one of the co-hosts of What's on Joe Mind podcast. I too used to suffer from this illness. If left untreated, it can lead to extreme cynicism, boredom, isolation, ridicule, and abandonment of your favorite hobby. Don't be a victim or a statistic. Do what I did to rid myself of Joe Trollitis. Listen to the new Joe Declassified Spec Ops podcast. Join host Gary Head along with myself, Justin, Kevin Watts, James Cavanaugh, Pat Stewart, and many others from the online community as they pull back the intrigue to show you the hidden side of G.I. Joe. It's the perfect medicine to cure your ills. Combat Joe Trolls today. Listen to What's on Joe Mind every week, followed by the new Joe Declassified Spec Ops podcast. Find it on iTunes or at JoeDeclassified.com today. What's on Joe Mind and Spec Ops. Together, we're just what the doctor ordered.
Get it on. You gotta got it.
Welcome back. The second half of What's On Joe Mind is brought to you by JoeArmory.com. Joe Armory is a proud sponsor of What's On Joe Mind. Stop on by JoeArmory.com to experience the internet's largest inventory for all things G.I. Joe, from 12-inch to 3¾-inch and everything in between. Joe Armory is your source.
Last week, we asked you to give us a call to fill up our voicemail mailbox with your thoughts on the delay. It wasn't canceled. Some people keep calling it cancellation, but just delay, postponement, what have you, of the Retaliation film. Well, we asked, you certainly delivered. Would like to thank Justin for posting that on his site, and also Jay Cochran over at TNI for posting it on Toy News International.
I wonder who thought of such a dynamic idea.
Please, Mike, tell us, indulge us. Who thought of such a wonderful idea?
It was such a groupthink type of deal. I don't remember. Could have been anyone.
Yeah. Got quite a bit. I could not put everyone that called in, but what I like to do is probably at the end of the recording, everything that I have left, I'll just go ahead and tack it on at the end. I will say, you will hear when you guys listen to these, all of you were extremely polite. When I asked for PG-13, I really got PG or G. Most everyone was, I would think, very thoughtful and chose their words well and didn't come off as a raging mad fanboy. What I have here are a host of voicemails that we'll play and we can comment too.
How many overall messages did we receive?
32.
Good wow. God.
Now, it did go without the fair share of some voicemail regulars calling in. Friend of the program, Scoreclop Supreme. Let's go ahead and lead that off.
Hello, What's On Joe Mind podcast. This is Scoreclop Supreme, long-time listener, third-time caller, and one-eyed leader of the Scorpion terrorist organization. I have a question for What's On Joe Mind. My question is, G.I. Joe Retaliation has been pushed back for post-production 3D editing. This is obviously of no use to me, but for those of you with two eyes, my question is, date change notwithstanding, will you be seeing G.I. Joe Retaliation in 3D when it comes out? I mean, the first time you see it.
Out?
Addiction to the brand will be dragging you by the leash to the theaters at least thrice on opening night, like a mistreated puppy or a well-treated gimp. Scorpion!
I like this guy.
Yeah, that was
obviously
a good one.
He's Canadian, or he's definitely up from the north. Let's put it that way. Out.
A boot. It's probably Greg.
Greg, was that you?
Probably Greg.
Justin, are you going to see this in 3D?
Nah, I've decided I don't really want to see G.I. Joe Retaliation after all.
Okay.
I'm going to see it in 3D, yeah. It'd be even better if it's in 3D IMAX. That would be really awesome. I don't know if they're going to go that far or not. But yeah, I'll probably see it in 3D. Why not?
What about you, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. I love 3D movies, especially the new kind. I mean, the glasses fit right over mine, so yeah, definitely.
Mike?
They're going to make me wait 9 f***ing months. You bet your ass I'm going to watch it in 3D.
I will not. First night, I'm going to go first available screen, and then I will see 3D some other time.
Well, yeah, I mean, that goes without saying. I'm not going to demand to see it in 3D the first time I see it, but I'll watch it in 3D eventually.
All right, this is from old friend Cobra Commander.
Greetings, What's On Joe Mind? Cobra Commander here, calling from Kokomo Toys. I'm shifting through all these new Retaliation toys and realized I've canceled your movie. Well, maybe not canceled, but delayed. Enjoy.
It's pretty mean of him to drop all those toys on Kokomo Toys. He follows up with this other voicemail.
What's on your mind? It's Cobra Commander again. I'm sorry. I didn't mean the nasty things that I said. Maybe we'll shoot for a Mars date. I'll let you have your little movie and your Retaliation.
Well, that was nice of him.
He's kind of a c***, huh?
Well, he left a third message.
Oh, jeez.
He's trying to redeem himself.
Hello, What's On Joe Mind? It's Cobra Commander again. I'm sorry. Really.
So we had 32 voicemails, but it was from like 3 different people.
So most of them were for Cobra Commander. I am actually impressed by our fan. This is like the worst G.I. Joe news of a couple of years, and they're sitting there cracking jokes worse than I would.
I'm impressed.
All right, this one is from listener of the program, Jay.
Yes, this is Jay. I've been listening to your podcast since episode 0, and I just have to say I'm pretty disappointed with the whole pushing back the movie event to 2013. I wonder if it's because of the battleship failure. But more importantly, I'm wondering what's going to happen to Hasbro with this what does this mean for the Joe line in itself? Sounds like a pretty big disaster. I mean, what are they going to do with the product? And sorry for rambling on. Just wanted to get those 2 cents out there. One question to bring up, what is Hasbro going to be able to do about this situation? And basically, what was the reason behind this move? Because I don't think it was for 3D. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for the chance to opine in on this. Thank you, and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
Again, I said that all of them were pretty polite. This is kind of typical of that. We answered a lot of his questions, but he's definitely a non-believer of the it's being pulled back for 3D.
Mm-hmm. He did make the grand mistake in referring to us as gentlemen.
His concerns, other than having to, it's so close and having it yanked out from underneath it, basically the concerns that he has is most what everyone else has is what about the toys and what Hasbro's going to do. And I think if we haven't got hints, Justin, of what's going to happen, we'll find out relatively soon.
Oh, yeah. We'll get all of our information at JoeCon probably and find out a little bit more of what's going to happen. But I think it's pretty much just what it sounds like. I think we'll end up getting the first couple of waves and then things are just going to go dark for a little while for mass retail. We've got those other figures to fall back on that we already talked about. But yeah, it's just going to be a little bit dark. And as far as what the real reasons behind the movie move were, I think we've regurgitated them quite a bit at this point. And I think Battleship probably did have something to do with it. I think also John Carter's failure had something to do with it. I just think there's been some high profile successes this year, but there's also been some very high profile failures. And Paramount did not want to be on the wrong side of a high profile film.
So. You know, also sucked about that John Carter is we got beaten that damn movie tournament thing against John Carter.
Yeah, I do remember that.
Oh, man. And they get beat by a loser. Here's the next message. He pretty much sums up everything in 15 seconds. This is Chris.
So, my name's Chris, and I just found out the news about the movie delay, and I just want to say, F you Paramount, F you Hasbro, F you 3D, and I'm out.
Rack him.
Rack him.
Very well put.
That's an epic take.
Rack him.
If only we knew where he was calling from. Chris from Tacoma, you're in the jungle.
Welcome to the jungle. I am Jim Rome.
Have a take, don't suck. I'm out. Rack him.
Rack him.
Of course, anyone that's like, you guys are talking about sports again. It's Jim Rome.
I am Jim Rome.
So it's not really sports.
No, it's But Chris, it was a good message. I just, when I heard it, I'm like, yeah, that pretty much sums up everything.
That's what we're all thinking.
Here's friend of the program, Magnum 6 Delta Todd.
Hey, what's on Joe Mine? What's going on? Magnum 6 Delta chiming in. Long-time listener, first-time caller. What can you say about the kick in the guts we got this afternoon when they announced the movie was going to be another 9 months away? A little upsetting. Not so much of the fact that, yeah, they're moving the movie another 9 months, but when you think, you know, 30th anniversary, what could we have gotten had we had another wave or two? I don't know. It's just, you know, retaliation. I don't know. I've seen some of the toys. They were out in New York. A buddy of mine got them. I don't know. I just think we could have got a couple more waves of those awesome sculpts that we had with 30th anniversary. I think everybody would have been happy campers. But now it's another 9 months. So I guess we'll have to just go from there. And wait a little while, let the embarrassment of the move this close to the release date die down, and, 9 months, hopefully hit it up again for a midnight showing, and all will be well. I guess we will see. That's all I got for here. Take it easy, what's on Joe Mine?
The irony of what he talks about is we hurried these things up because the studio wanted to replace Star Trek with this movie. So they stop the 30th line to rush these things out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets pushed back and then it's only a month away from Star Trek.
Yep. And then we have the whole that ties into the whole G.I. Joe Renegades animated series, too. I mean, the whole production on that, who knows? Maybe they could have gotten an extra season out of that. If the schedule would fell out the right way.
Here's a friend of the program and regular commenter, Maple Leaf, Ryan.
Hi, this is Ryan Maple Leaf Hildebrand calling from Canada. I just see the notice about the movie being pushed back till March 29th. I am very disappointed, obviously, and my comment is, it looks like the zombie vipers have invaded Paramount Studios because nobody's got any brains there. Anyway. It's always good to hear the podcast, and I can't wait to enjoy more of the interviews. Take care, guys. Bye.
That was good. The zombie vipers ate all the brains at Paramount. That's
quality.
Yep. This comes from Mike, not our Mike.
What?
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 Yeah, this is Mike. I'm just calling in to give my thoughts on G.I. Joe Retaliation's release date being moved back. It's just an incredible decision by Paramount that I just don't understand, because it ripples out into so many other places, facets, organizations. It's like, you know, I know they're driving the boat, but they just really didn't seem like they stopped to think for a second that the G.I. Joe convention was set up to be running the same time as it was being released. All the toys are hitting the shelves. You know, other products have crossovers. All that has just been thrown in the trash, and I just don't see how people are going to be excited about it, you know, 9 months from now. I guess this is just a sign of things to come, and it's too bad that the era of G.I. Joe seems to be going to a close. Thanks for listening.
I don't know if it's a close yet, but it does bring up some points. There was other business involved with the movie going on. I know there are some crossover promotions that we've learned about, Justin.
Yep. What was it, Matco Tools or something like that, that was supposed to be doing a tie-in with them? We've got the G.I. Joe Renegades DVD Volume 1 that I was working on a review of, and you notice that they've got a big old sticker right on the front that says, hey, $5 movie credit for G.I. Joe Retaliation expires July 2012.
Yep.
Yeah, so there is a big ripple effect. Ripple effect is a good way to put it.
Friend of the show, Rev, left us a message.
Hey, guys, it's Rev. The movie news is devastating. I haven't seen the movie yet, but I do worry about public perception, and I worry that the changes are going to make it not the movie I wanted to see. Too many hands in the pot. Maybe they're going to make it more friendly to the general audience, not the Joe fans. I don't know yet, but the big worry is the toys, just like most of you. I can probably find something to do in the hiatus, but I worry about its effect on the brick-and-mortar stores. And I've also had a couple scary thoughts about pricing. If they're pulling these back or holding them somewhere, are we going to end up paying for storage? I mean, that's a lot of money. Also, with these big sales loss and Joe already taking articulation cuts, et cetera, to get on the shelves, are more things going to be cut so that it'll be profitable? All right, guys, thanks for all your hard work.
And a trickle down there. Yep. Justin?
Yeah, and more ripple effect that you don't really think of. I don't think that we have to worry too much about storage. I have a feeling Hasbro will probably pull some, you know, if retailers do send some stuff back to them, it's probably stuff that's all just going to be worked into the cost. I don't think we're going to see any great increases because of that. He brings up a good point about the film itself. Maybe the general audience was seeing the screeners and wasn't happy with it. Is Paramount going to make changes to make it more approachable by general audiences and thus kind of remove some of the fan-specific elements that most of us would have enjoyed? I don't know. I'm getting to the point where I really want to see a kick-ass movie, but to me the more important thing is I will give up a kick-ass two-hour movie for viability of the brand going forward. We could have an amazing kick-ass 2 hours of a movie that the general public doesn't care about, and then the brand fizzles out a few months later, or we can get a two-hour movie that we have to kind of deal with for 2 hours, but the brand ends up surviving for a few years after that fact. You know, it's kind of the Transformers issue that so many of those folks are dealing with. Yeah, you go sit in a theater for 2.5 hours and Michael Bay assaults your senses and it sucks. You hate it, but
you're not going to get those 2 hours back.
Right, but then you go look at the pegs, and because Michael Bay assaulted your senses for 2 hours, you've now got 3 more years of good Transformers toys, a great pair of video games for, you know, War from Cybertron or whatever. So maybe it's worth suffering through those 3 hours for the viability of the brand going forward. So
another thing you mentioned that I caught is hands in the cookie jar.
Yeah.
You could run into the situation that when they start sending this stuff back, that now you have too many involved. The whole hand in the cookie jar, cooks in the kitchen analogies run side by side. You have a chance for now the train wreck to happen. Never mind, train wreck might have been averted the first time, but now we're still looking at a possible train wreck, depending on how many opinions you have in this changing process.
Yep. Exactly.
This next one comes from friend of the program, Shogi Scott.
Hey guys, this is Scott, aka Shogi. My 2 cents about the movie timeline being changed. I've been spending months now avoiding spoilers. I don't think I can keep it up for another year. I really look forward to seeing the movie next month, but this really kind of sucks for everyone involved. And to be honest, if it's being pushed back just to be turned to 3D, the only other movie I saw like that was The Last Airbender, and it didn't look good. Oof. You know, when they're filmed in 2D and moved to 3D, it just doesn't really work so well. But, you know, that's just my thoughts. Keep up good work. Love listening to you guys. Later.
I think that post-production convert to 3D is a question mark, but I've heard reports, I haven't seen it myself, but I've heard reports that Titanic 3D actually looked really good, and that was obviously done, converted to 3D post-production, and that was done by James Cameron's Digital Domain Studios, which is the same studio that's doing it for G.I. Joe Retaliation, so I have no reason to think that it's going to be...
Star Wars.
Yep. Star Wars, exactly.
Phantom Menace came out in February or January 3D, so.
I actually didn't see that. Did it look okay in 3D, or?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Kid liked it. It's Phantom Menace, so I was just like, give me to the next movie next year.
Avengers looked okay.
But was that converted to 3D after production? I think that's the main thing. Is you can do 3D in production, or you can do it post-production. I think they're trying to figure out.
It didn't pop out at you like it was filmed in 3D.
Okay.
Got to bear with me on this last one. This is a very, very, very upset caller. Bear with me.
Chuck, was this you?
I do believe this is Kevin Watts.
You say he wanted his mommy?
You can tell he has a young one when he can imitate that right there.
I'm going to rename my dog as well and kick him every time I see a G.I. Joe. My dog's not on his head.
Closet homosexual.
Oh my god.
And that we end most of your voicemails. Like I said, I'll tack on the rest at the end of this episode. But
wow.
And you know, Kevin, I thought we bonded over our outrage over no file cards, but you can go scratch.
It's now time for shout-outs and what we got in this week. This segment of What's on Joe Mind is brought to you by BountyHunterToys.com. BountyHunterToys.com is one of the largest independently owned online vintage toy dealers in Canada. Check out BountyHunterToys.com for their wide selections of all things G.I. Joe, as well as Star Wars, wrestling, He-Man, and Transformers. Need cash? BountyHunterToys.com buys your old toys and trades also. Check them out at BountyHunterToys.com. Like them on Facebook for a 10% discount code and follow them on Twitter today, BountyHunterToys.com. More fun than a poke in the eye. Oh, Chuck, what'd you get in this week?
Oh, Gary. So Wednesday we find out that the movie was being delayed. So I scored the Retaliation 4-pack and the Renegades 4-pack. So I have to say, I mean, you guys, I have been posting photos on Twitter. You did see that Cobra Commander came literally asswards backwards in the packaging. But what I didn't realize till last night was Roadblock is completely useless. I can't review this figure because none of it works. First of all, his left arm, which is his good arm, I had to pop the joint because the elbow was frozen. And here's the thing, you know those little launchers that you're supposed to shove his thing into to make him pop out?
Booyah!
Ayo.
They were already extended. The knife blade, I couldn't get the collapse back in. The shield on his rocket launcher, they didn't pop out. And just looking at how it was packaged in the box, how it was packaged is what caused the problem. And I mean, I'm really disappointed because I was looking forward
this figure was built around this gimmick, and I thought the gimmick was kind of cool. Hook it up, launch it in, shatoom. But now it's, I really don't even know if I'm going to spend the $12 to get one single carded just to see how it works. So then on Memorial Day, I hit up a Toys R Us. Well, first I went to Target. They had nothing but the motorcycles, and Gary can share with you his opinion on the motorcycles.
Gary, why don't you give us the refresher real quick?
They suck.
So I go to Toys R Us, and they've redone their entire store. I am more confused than a baby in a topless bar.
Bazinga.
Thankfully, I saw...
Why, because there's too many sources of milk to drink from? Is that what the crux of that joke is?
Basically, yeah. All right,
it's a boob
thankfully,
joke.
I it's saw a lightsaber joke, yeah. out of the corner of my eye, so I was able to find the action figure aisle. And there, opening up in front of me, were the Retaliation figures. So I picked up the Ninja Dojo 3-pack with Roadblock, Kamakura, and Beachhead.
Chuck, don't do that again.
Ever.
And now I gotta say, I was gonna pick up the other 3-pack, which was the Ninja Battle 3-pack, except for one problem. Some blessed and sainted individual who obviously has been touched by a higher power opened it up and took out the Red Ninja. And this was the only one on the shelf. They only had one single carded figure, and it was hidden in the upper bin where they store the excess, and it was the single carded Snake Eyes, which I just got in that 4-pack. They had the Stingrader boat, the Awe Striker, but one thing I was impressed with is they actually had the roleplay toys, including the Battle Kata Blaster, which, you know, I have to tell you, the only reason I picked up the 3-pack over the Battle Kata Blaster, which was cheaper, was because if I told you guys I picked up the Battle Kata Blaster when the figures were available, you would have given me a hard time.
It's good to know we have such influence on his life outside of the show.
No kidding.
Yeah, dumbass.
Please.
You're going to make him cry after the show.
God.
You going to do some video reviews for those, Chuck?
Oh, of course I am. You know it. And Mike, why don't you tell the nice folks where they can find my video reviews?
YouTube.com/ChuckDog1999.
That was about it what I got this week. I'm sure sooner than later I will be going back for that Battle Kata Blaster since Craig and I were in love with it.
It is pretty awesome.
No, it's not.
I'll take your word for it.
Dude, yeah. It shoots Nerf dart. It's at least pretty awesome. That's the minimum.
You just duded me over the Battle Kata crap.
It shoots Nerf darts.
Shoots darts. It doesn't shoot Nerf darts.
Yeah, I think
it probably sucks then.
Yeah, dumbass.
So that's about all I got this week.
All rise for this week's honoring of the figure subscription service.
Figure subscription service, you are not forgotten. In this time of crisis in our fandom,
the world in crisis.
In this time of harrowing sadness, you are our beacon of light. In our blackest night, you shine brighter than any other franchise's ring. This week we honor the mysterious 13th figure. Who are you? What are you? What parts are you made of? We do not know. All we know is that your time is coming. You will be appreciated, fought over, and ridiculed by various members of the fandom. But you are coming. And for this, we honor you.
Okay.
Anybody have any revised guesses?
The 13th
revised
figure?
Revised guesses as to what the 13th figure?
John Chu.
John Chu.
I'm going to say pastrami on sourdough.
Duke.
Mike, what'd you get in this week?
What did I get in this week? Not a whole lot, really. I had to register for the JoeCon, so that soaked up a lot of money when you combine that with a trip home to Indiana for a couple days. I've seen the Retaliation figures. They're just going to have to wait till at least Friday before I grab anything there. Of course, I'm concerned about getting a 3-pack, probably first and foremost, and that's about all for the time being. That's on the absolutely must grab list.
Hey Mike, I know we didn't have the mailbag this week, but if I wanted to say it in a foreign language, what language would I be saying this week?
You would be saying, Saca de Correos.
Saca de Correos.
Saca de Correos.
There you go. There is your mailbag language lesson of the week.
Saca de correos.
Very good.
This is why we get invited to go on so many shows, Gary. That's right, because we're educational. We did get a nice email on Facebook. If we've got a minute, I'd like to read that.
Oh, from Barry Kay?
Yeah, from Barry Kay. Hi, guys. I just want you to know that I'm a 12-inch Joe collector who's been going to Joe conventions since 1994, who's worked with Hasbro and the G.I. Joe Club on many projects over the years. So I'm pretty in tune with some of the behind-the-scenes goings-on and how things work in the hobby and in the community. That being said, I just listened to your special edition podcast regarding the postponement of the movie. I wanted to let you know that I was really impressed with how you guys handled it. No one is happy about this, but you are fair and balanced and remain positive, which is something I honestly didn't expect when I started listening. I've been working in the entertainment industry for 25 years, and I know how insane Hollywood can be, so I'm not entirely by surprise by this move, but as a longtime Joe fan, mainly 12-inch, but I have a great love of the brand as a whole, and a strong desire to see it succeed as both a toy line and an entertainment property, I was surprised and disappointed. Anyway, I just wanted to compliment you guys on the show and on the podcast in general. I don't listen to all of them, but based on the ones I have listened to, you guys do a great job and are solid ambassadors for the fan community. Even if you do take shots at the club from time to time, Brian and Lanny are both good friends, and he's got a little smiley face on the end there.
I know.
Because it's all Justin and his low blows. Keep up the good work. Barry.
We always say sorry.
Yes.
Well, to Dave.
And our tongues are firmly in cheek. We love the club. I can't say we love Brian and Lanny because we don't know them all that well. But I love Dave. Put it that way.
And his sexy goatee.
You love Dave a little too much. If memory serves, you're a little in love with Dave.
Maybe.
At least in lust with Dave. Sorry, Dave.
It's a low blow, Mike.
It's a low blow of truth.
They're never going to let me in the doors this year. They're going to be like, you got to wait out there, buddy. We'll take your money. Just throw your check through the door. We'll cash it over here.
Slide it under the door.
Yeah, you got to stay out
walk
there.
Walk away, yeah.
Justin Bell and his wandering hands.
Now, it's really cool. Barry's been a long, long time collector, long time contributor to the club. He's a very cool, very good guy, and I'm pretty humbled and honored that he took some time to drop us a line. That was awesome. Thanks, Barry.
Anything else, Mike?
That's it as far as getting in. As far as shout-outs go, of course, I'd again like to thank our sponsors for continuing to put up with us. Kokomo Toys, JoeArmory.com, our wives and families, as the case may be, and anybody who invests a little piece of time in the program.
I echo that.
Did I miss a sponsor?
You got Kokomo Toys, you got Joe Armory, got Bounty Hunter Toys.
I didn't. I'm sorry, Bounty Hunter Toys.
Did you make mention of your appearance at Rollout Roll Call 4?
I did not, because we are not confirmed. Regardless of what Dave Tree will tell any of you, I am not confirmed. I'm working on it. I'm not saying I'm not trying. I'm definitely trying to get to Rollout Roll Call 4.
Have you confirmed the Bangkok JoeCon in 2012? It's coming up in a couple months? No. Bangladesh?
No, I have not.
Bangladeshicon, isn't that coming up next year?
That would be pretty awesome. And of course, you know, CongoCon.
CongoCon, yeah.
Justin, anything you get this week?
I did. Obviously, it's the big G.I. Joe Retaliation launch week, and granted, I'd gotten most of the stuff previously, but believe it or not, my local Walmart, which has not carried Joe on a regular basis pretty much ever in the past number of years, actually got a nice selection of stuff in, so I picked up a second Joe Trooper. Didn't find any ones with tan capes, still got the blue one. I also picked up the Retaliation, those motorcycles with Snake Eyes and Firefly, and I echo Gary's sentiments, they suck. I bought them anyway because I'm weak.
That's how I am, my brother. That's how I am.
So yeah, I did get those. I also, kind of a combination, what I got this week and a shout out, I got a very cool package today, fresh from Gyre Viper, sent it along to Jay Hunger from CartedHeroes.com, who then forwarded it along to me, and it's the nice little loose two-pack of San Diego Comic-Con Jinx figures. So I am in the midst of doing reviews for those two figures as we talk, which is pretty cool. So I want to thank both Jay and Gary for forwarding those on to me so I can make that happen. That's very cool of them. I also wanted to give a shout out to the ever-growing Twitter community we've got going on here. Over the past week, it's been obviously kind of crappy to be a G.I. Joe fan in some ways, but it was very cool to kind of see a bunch of the guys on Twitter kind of come together. And yesterday with the big launch day, there was updates from guys like Cape Crusader and Twitziller who were hitting local retail shops, just reporting about all the different things they've seen, they're spotting. Guys like Kenny and Fred from Joe Battle Lines just continually kind of keeping us updated about what was hitting retail and what was out there. It was very cool to kind of watch everybody going to different area stores and finding stuff on shelves. And in lieu of the crappy news over the past week, it was kind of a little spark of excitement for people showing some joy in getting out to retail and finding some of this stuff on shelves. That was pretty cool. So I want to give a shout out to Twitter and all the people who follow me and who I follow and all the surrounding Joe buddies. And last but not least, I got to give another quick shout out to the Ghost Recon Alpha short movie that I actually just posted on General's Joe's about 10 minutes before recording the show tonight. It is badass. If John Chu is listening to this podcast and Paramount is listening to this podcast, do me a favor and hop on generalsjoes.com and do a quick search for Ghost Recon Alpha. I haven't really posted much about Ghost Recon, so you should be able to find the post pretty easily. And there is a 23-minute short movie that Ubisoft put out. It's official. It's by Ubisoft themselves to support their new Ghost Recon Future Soldier video game that's coming out soon. And this movie is badass. Everything you want about G.I. Joe, it is. It's got kind of a high-tech military team hunting down some evil terrorists who happen to have some pretty advanced technology, and the tables get turned a little bit. And it's not often that I see kind of a basic military movie and recommend it as a G.I. Joe movie, but this would make a really, really badass G.I. Joe movie. So everybody should check that out. So I want to give a shout out to them too. I think that's about it for what I got in this week and my shout out. I'm taking a big road trip tomorrow for work down to southern New Hampshire, so I'm hoping to hit a bunch of other stores tomorrow. So we'll see what I come up with.
I do have an announcement from our sponsor, Kokomo Toys.
What?
What?
Kokomo Toys, they are doing a contest with the Joe-Con Diorama Contest. You can win an extra $100 if you're thinking about creating something as an entry in the 2012 Joe-Con Diorama Contest. He says if you are making an entry for the contest in New Orleans, we have a separate challenge for you. We want you to do something extra special for the customizers attending Joe-Con this year. If your entry has something to do with Kokomo Toys and their shop, we will do a cash on the spot award for the top two dios that we like the most. So first place will receive $100. Second place will receive $50. This is cash. This is not show cash. And then they will gladly display your diorama first and second place on their website. But they said that if you could somehow drop Kokomo Toys, a reference of Kokomo Toys somehow in your diorama display that you're going to put in the Joe-Con contest, that's another way that you can earn some money separately from the club, but something from Kokomo Toys. So that's very interesting. And lastly, I will throw in a cash prize of $1 if somebody can throw in any reference to noted author James Cavanaugh.
A dollar.
Aw,
man.
Dollar. That's a Coke, man.
It's not.
No, it's not.
I will buy a Coke if it's more than a dollar.
Although it should be an alcoholic drink.
True. It should be Coke with something in it.
I can't promise that because if the person's under 21 that wins this portion of the contest, I can't do that. So I need to be able to make sure that at least the prize is appropriate for someone under 21. So whether it be a $1 or $2 cash prize or a drink and an alcoholic drink possibly for someone that's over 21.
Chuck did forget to renew our liquor license at the one-year anniversary mark too. So that's kind of against us too.
From Kokomo Toys and the Joe-Con Dio contest. What did I get this week? I got my Retaliation movie poster with the June 29th date on it this week.
Oh, did you actually get it?
Yeah.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, I bought it. Yeah, I got it today.
I haven't received mine yet. I bought it. But
I decided that on suggestion of Fred at Joe Battle Lines, I said, that's not a bad idea. I could do worse with $12. So I went ahead and bought it. And I think it was like $12 combined, all shipping and everything.
Yep. Too.
Wifey came home this week with the Avengers movie Hawkeye and Avengers movie Black Widow, and they are awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking for those tomorrow when I'm traveling as well.
They are by far the best figures to come out in that line, period.
Where'd you find them?
Walmart. Hawkeye, spot on, Jeremy Renner. I hate the spring-loaded weapons, typically, but he actually comes with a pretty cool spring-loaded weapon. You just kind of pull it back and it shoots. It's kind of interesting. The bows are removable from the spring-loaded weapon, so if you just want to have him posing with the bows and everything, that's pretty cool. The Black Widow, again, good likeness of Scarlett Jo, comes with two pistols. I will say that they are small and they could get lost easily, so when you open these up, be sure to put it into your display case or baggie as quickly as possible before you start pre-losing parts. But they are great figures. And you know, in lieu of bad news, it was nice to get these this week. So very, very cool. Shout out to the club. Thinking of you. Keep your chins up. So far, so good with the registrations and everything. My registration went smoothly, I think. Anyone have any bad registration stories?
No, man. 4 minutes on a tablet.
4 minutes on a tablet.
Nice. As I said on Open Your Toys podcast, 4 minutes on a tablet, in, out, and done.
Just in fighting traffic to get to the nearest computer.
I was. That was a humorous experience. I'm like, I get the text. Oh, I had left for work and I had to go to one of our remote sites. The remote site was about a 45-minute drive. I'd been on the road for about 15 minutes. I get the text messages. I turned my around and I went back. I said, the remote site. They can be okay for a little while. I'm going back to the office. So I spun around and went back to the office and frantically texting. I swear I wasn't texting when I was driving, but I was texting Gary. Registration's up. I'm 10 minutes out. I'm going. But it was a fun experience.
It was the only time leading up to that registration going live. It was the only time in the day that I decided I wanted to leave my desk and go get lunch. They must know when everyone that wants to register is just their guards down at the most and say, ah! Registration time, suckers.
Yep. Yeah, I was on a call at work, too, when the text came over from Gary and Justin almost simultaneously.
So here's what I do. I get back from lunch, and I just sit down, and then my phone, bloop, James Cavanaugh, noted author. Reg is up. Oh, that's exactly what I said. Oh, push my stuff aside. my warm meal I just got from the cafeteria, push it aside, start getting in there. Now, Debbie gave me a separate debit card. We have a separate account that we build up to for JoeCon every year. I told her anytime in the next week or so, we're probably going live. So she gives me the card, take it to work. And to make sure that I didn't accidentally grab it and pay for something else with it, I kept it far away from the regular debit card, but behind my benefits flex card. Start ripping through this stuff, and I punch in the number, and all of a sudden I get the red text of death, and I'm like, what the hell? And I realize I just punched in my flex card credit card number. Well, unless I was buying a load of drugs or had some medical procedure, there ain't no way that's going through. So I rushed back and redid it and still managed to get everything taken care of in time. Interesting story. Pay attention to what credit card and everything goes on. Taken care of, looking forward to it. The only other thing that was a little difficult was the CAPTCHA at the front end.
Yeah.
And just decided out of the blue to try hitting the enter button. That worked.
Yeah, so. And thank God somebody figured that out, because I was like frantically going, what the hell am I supposed to do? Because like every link on the right-hand side, you enter the caption, then every link was like, click here to become a new member, and then click here if you're not a member. And I'm like, wait a minute, none of, don't those mean the same thing?
See, Justin, I'd have done your golden ticket registry for you, and of course sold it to you at a tidy profit.
But, and now who's the...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, that's pretty well my whole persona on this program.
I also want to shout out to John Chu and the cast of the movie, especially the production cast of the movie. We're thinking of you. We really do feel bad for you. I can't imagine that we feel any worse than what you guys feel. Mm-hmm. Chin up, knock it out of the ballpark for us. I don't think we've lost our faith in you guys at all.
No.
Bring it hard.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I'm hoping some folks put in perspective. Yeah, it sucks for us having to wait 9 months for the movie to come out, but there's a lot of people that put a lot of work into a lot of different elements of this that it probably wasn't their decision. Like, it's probably not John Chu's decision to do this, but he's probably bearing the brunt of what's going to happen next. Guys like John Warden, who've been to the con year after year after year, and other guys from Hasbro who are actually in the trenches designing the figures. It's not their fault the movie got pushed up and then pushed back, but they're going to be bearing the brunt of the work. So just remember, this sucks, yes, but we're not going to have to be putting in, you know, 60 or 70 hours a week of work to try to make up for it. So just to put things in a little bit of perspective, there's probably people working at Hasbro right now that have it a lot worse than we do at the moment. So yes, it sucks. It could be a lot worse.
And that's my other shout out to the guys at Hasbro, John Warden and crew on the G.I. Joe team. I can't imagine what the challenge that they have to face right now.
Yeah, keep in mind, they busted their asses and worked a ton of overtime, I'm sure, to get things ready early for the movie, which suddenly was going to hit 2 months earlier than they thought. And then they go through all that work, and things are already hitting retail and just in the verge of distribution, and now all of a sudden, oh yeah, just kidding, now it's going to be moving back 9 more months, and it's just, yeah.
False alarm. Yeah, fooled you. That's it for this episode. You can talk to us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656. Just because the show is over doesn't mean the fun ends. Join us on Twitter during the week. Head on over to our Podbean site and find our Twitter profiles on the right-hand side of the page. As always, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Host bios, community forum threads, and archive episodes, along with everything else with our show, can be found on our webpage, whatsonjoemind.podbean.com. Visit and bookmark it today. Download our show at iTunes, InsidePulse.com, and Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Your Mind, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Check out GeekCastRadio.com for other great podcast shows such as Movie Week in Review, GCR and Retro, Tooncast Beyond, and Mass Mayhem. Go to GeekCastRadio.com and unleash the geek in you today. Next week, we'll be joined by Jay George and Travis of the Moderately Geeky Podcast to talk about podcast coverage of JoeCon as we continue on the road to New Orleans.
Chuck, remember to put down newspaper. Hey, man, if you remember, then I'll remember. We'll take care of that.
Is that ending on a poop joke? aimed at Jay, George, and Travis?
Maybe. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not trying to bring troubles into light or anything.
Okay.
We're trying to be discreet about all this, Gary.
So for our showrunner Chuck, co-host Justin and Mike, I'm Gary saying, on men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe. Good night, folks, and thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on the next episode of What's On Joe Mind, the official podcast of the 2012 Canadian JoeCon. See you all in NOLA.
See ya.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Hey guys, it's Jake from Corpus Christi. I just read the news and saw your little post here about having a call-in show, and man, it's pretty much a kick in the nuts for me. I've been putting off things and, you know, trying to figure out how to see the movie and everything else, and actually timing works better for me because my first kid's supposed to be born right around the 28th. But I've been looking forward to this for a long time, and I'm just thinking, I don't know if the movie can recover from this, all the promotion, the build-up, the steam. I don't know if they're going to be able to get that to happen again. What do you guys think? Can they recover from this? Can they be getting everything back on track? Can they get the fever of the fans back up so that this movie doesn't just tank in March? I'd like to hear your thoughts on it. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Jerry Reed, also known as Barbecue17. Just calling about the delay on G.I. Joe Retaliation. I think all things considered, man, the last few years, it's kind of been hard to be a G.I. Joe fan. Everything has changed constantly. We've had a good line that got running with, you know, Pursuit of Cobra, Renegades, Resolute, any of those things. It seems like Hasbro always cancels all that stuff in regards to what the movie's doing, in regards to the, you know, the bigger fish entertainment properties. And I think this is just going to make things so much more difficult for the toy line to really get out there and to foster its own identity again. With Pursuit of Cobra, I really think Hasbro was doing stuff in the 1/18 scale that, you know, rivaled what Hot Toys does in the 1/6 scale. So I think for the rest of the year, I'm just going to take it easy and take some solace in my Larry Hama written G.I. Joe, A Real American Hero comic book, and sort of just wait it out. Thanks, guys. Yo, Joe.
So, this all seems horrible, but seriously, if I was Mr. Banner, I would be very large, green, and destroying everything around me. This is Brent from Houston, calling in about the movie news. Needless to say, it's very disappointing. This is without a doubt the worst Joe news since Chuck informed everybody that he isn't actually leaving the show in April. Just kidding, Chuck. Seriously, it's bad news for the toys. It's bad news for everyone. You can't do this a month before it comes out, especially with the JoeCon tie-in. You know, it's tough out there for a lot of people right now. I think I speak for others when I say we need this hobby to distract us from the everyday, you know, for various reasons. So it's very disappointing, to say the least, for us Joe fans. I think it's devastating for our, you know, beloved hobby. But anyways, you guys have a good one, and I'll talk to you here. Thanks.
Hello, this is Matt Pack calling from Chester, Virginia. Big fan of What's on Joe Mind. Yes, my opinion about what's going on here with the delay of the G.I. Joe movie, I believe it has a lot to do with the movie Battleship. I think to Paramount, I think they panicked. I think they don't look at the G.I. Joe Retaliation as a sequel to a foreign a movie that made a lot of money overseas, or a big action flick with Bruce Willis and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I think they look at it as a toy movie, and they panicked, and they went, instead of, you know, what can we do? They said, okay, let's slap some 3D on it, and hopefully it'll make some money and make something back. But I'm sitting here stunned, wondering, like, you know, it's one thing to delay a movie far, far out, but it's another thing when, I mean, do they have Happy Meal toys planned for June? Do they have, are there going to be coloring books? And what about big cardboard displays for Toys R Us? This looks like this is a very bad decision that's going to impact a lot of merchandisers and people doing licensing on the movie. Anyway, that's my opinion. Thanks for letting me call in, and you take care. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Eduardo M. Fryer, aka Lord Ed 1976. Gotta say, I'm disappointed with the news that the movie is being pushed back to March 2013. I'm not sure whether or not it's their intention, but Paramount and Hasbro, by making this move, seems to be indicating that they have no faith that the movie will do well. According to this move, it seems like the only way that a G.I. Joe movie will do well is if, number one, it jumps on the whole 3D bandwagon, and number two, it's released in the spring where there's no chance of it running into, say, a big blockbuster that will then kick its ass. Now, I'm not saying that this would have happened had it been released in its June 29th date, but still, the subtext, whether or not this is intentional, seems to imply that they really just don't think that it would do well in June 29th. What I'm very curious about is what this is going to do to the toys. Does this mean all the stuff that we've seen so far is going to sit in a warehouse in boxes until March? Or are they going to still release it, and then we have some little plastic previews of a film we're not going to see until 2013? That is, unless the Mayans kill us.
In 2014, we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the introduction of the first G.I. Joe, the 12-inch line. I have grave concerns that at the time of that anniversary, we won't have seen G.I. Joe Retaliation hit the theaters. By that point in time, DJ Petrona and Adrian Palicki might already have a baby J on their hands. I feel bad for the actors. I feel bad for the director. It can't be great to have a movie that you've spent so much time publicizing and so much time filming, composing soundtracks for, be pulled from the marketplace only about a month before its major release. I can't remember or recall another pop culture property that has sustained a blow like that. But I feel most terrible for the toy line and the fans of that toy line, because I have great concerns that if the toys are released as scheduled on Monday, that the sales will be so weak that it'll poison the well and kill the line forever, just 2 years before it would reach its half-century mark. This is Dan Uthman. I love your show, and I wish we were all talking on better terms tonight. Thanks a lot.
Hey, guys. This is Jonah, a.k.a. Joe Gun Warrior. Wanted to reach out to you regarding the news that was dropped yesterday on the date of Retaliation being pushed back about 9 months. I guess first I find it disconcerting that Paramount would have little confidence in the movie itself as it stands today to feel the need to, based on what they state, is going back and adding in 3D effects. I'm not a big fan of 3D effects, especially that 3D conversion. I wanted to take my son to see it. He doesn't even keep the glasses on his head. Then, I guess my biggest concern, aside from the movie, because the movie is what the movie is, I guess my biggest concern is for the toy line itself, and it poses a question to all of you. I'd love your feedback. I'd like to know what you think Hasbro needs to do at this point to sort of recover from this and keep the brand going strong. I see it being a very challenging next several months for them, and possibly even very challenging as we move through 2013. And I just wanted to find out what you guys think or needs to be done by Hasbro, again, to keep the line alive for the next several months and then through 2013. Let me know your thoughts. I appreciate all the good work that you guys do, and I'll keep listening. You guys keep talking. I'll keep listening. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Hey guys, this is Rich from Canada, lover of Backstop and Poutine, Count Geekula on Twitter. I was in Toys R Us today and I saw the G.I. Joe Retaliation banners getting ready to put them up, so I was pretty stoked. And then I heard the news of the movie being delayed. No matter what, Paramount must know the optics of this don't look good. Delaying a movie, and as far as the 3D conversion thing goes, converting a movie to 3D that was never intended to be 3D just really irks me. And a lot of people are going to go into that thinking, man, that 3D is not that big a deal. It's one thing when you convert a movie like Titanic or Star Wars where people know it's an older movie being converted. The average moviegoer doesn't know the difference between something shot in 3D and a conversion, so when they see that, they're just not going to be happy with it. And again, I'm really bummed that the toys might be delayed. I mean, no one really knows for sure. I guess I'll know in a couple days if we get them out. But anyway, pretty bummed, annoyed at Paramount. And even if, you know, it is a really great movie, you delay a movie too much, the average moviegoer kind of forgets about it. I've seen a lot of great films that got pushed back by a studio and kind of loses its audience because of that. On the bright side, Gary, you have a delightfully sexy phone voice. Thanks a lot for doing this podcast, guys. A lot of toy collectors are going to be feeling better hearing their Joe buddies talk about this. Bye-bye.
Hello, WOJM listeners. This is Skinny, a.k.a. Ted. And the first thing that popped into my mind was I was in shock. It was kind of a blur. I was really looking forward to the G.I. Joe premiere at JoeCon. And then the second thing that I thought of was, back a while ago, John M. Chu actually said this. I really want to do it in 3D, but the decision hasn't been made yet. A lot of factors that go into that, which I think it's good to have a big discussion about. I think it's going to be perfect for it, but there are other factors that are built into it. How it slows you down, things like that. But I could try some other things if it wasn't in 3D. It would change my whole view of how I would make this movie, so we're trying to figure it out. So we went from no 3D to, you know, 3D. And the 3D aspect, if it was written to be in 3D, then I think it's great. But if it was basically written out, you know, there are certain parts that you write for 3D as far as production value, and if that wasn't written into it, then it may not be as good of a movie. And my final thought is that when they did the test screenings, it was possible that that 11-minute surprise featuring the ninjas may not have went over too well, but I do hope that they still keep it in. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Adam, calling from Portland, Oregon. I'll try to keep this brief. I'm really disappointed. This is a really awful move. You know, if they'd done this maybe 3 or 4 months ago, it would have sucked. But just like 1 month before it comes out, it's really bad. And also, makes me think that this is pretty much the direct result of Battleship pretty much bombing. And I feel like they need the 3D in order to be able to turn a profit and make more money. It sucks. Who knows about what the toys are still going to come out or not. I mean, some of them are going to come out, obviously, but, you know, waves 3, 4, 5, who knows? I've been a Joe fan now for almost 25 years. G.I. Joe means a lot to me. My first memory is going to Toys R Us with my dad at the age of 4. To get my first G.I. Joe, which was repeater. And, the Joe line's been through a lot of bumps. It's been a lot of troubles over the years. But, you know, it's always rebounded. This sucks. This isn't good, but maybe something good will come out of it. I don't know. I have to wait and see. So I hope for the best, and hopefully there are better days before us. We'll see. Anyway, I just want to say love the podcast, and keep up the good work. You guys really just knock it out of the park every week. Always look forward to new episodes, so see what happens. Alright, later.
Hello, I'm John, 33 years old, from Burlington, Vermont.
And I'm calling about my frustration to voice it about the news of Paramount and pushing back retaliation. One of my biggest peeves, I mean, I understand and agree with a lot of the other people that have been writing posts about Paramount's decision to do this based on Battleship and the lack of reception that it got. And I can understand that to some extent, but for me, Battleship and G.I. Joe are completely different things. They might have been toys in the 80s, but G.I. Joe is just such a powerhouse. And I think maybe the people of Paramount just might not understand what they have, what could possibly be if they just let it go in 2D or 3D or whatever. I was leaving Avengers with my buddy few weeks ago, and he doesn't collect anything. He's not really into a lot of the comic or toy type of movies or anything like that. He knows I am, so he likes to go with me, and he was just excited that, you know, on top of the Avengers and Batman and Spider-Man, that G.I. Joe is coming out. Yeah, it's not going to be the caliber of some of those films, but he put it in his list. He was excited about it, and this is the guy that could care less about collecting G.I. Joes or this, but I think that the people of Paramount don't really understand that they have something that could turn in to something big, regardless of if it's 2D and 3D. And just hearing a lot of the people who are non-G.I. Joe fans excited and asking me questions because they know I was into it, I was just getting excited about everything. And I think that was just a big piece that they overlooked on their part, was not really understanding the brand and the potential that it had, and that even though it is a tough summer with blockbusters, but people were including G.I. Joe in that, and they were excited about it. It might be the second or third or fourth choice or the fourth or fifth movie that they thought was the best they saw this summer, but if you include it in the list, then I say break it in a season that has a lot of these blockbusters, to put it in with those caliber films so that people remember it alongside with Avengers and with Batman and all those movies, not when it's going to be forgotten immediately after in the beginning of spring. So that's my two cents. It was a long two cents, but hope you guys use it.